It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
It's time for episode 144 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of Henri Compan, the creator of Yi Sun Shin, a terrific comic series that deals with a real-life superhero, as Henri likes to call him. Henri is close to wrapping up the second series of books on this character, and he needs our help. He'll talk a lot about that and his Kickstarter project, which just recently got started, and how you can help bring this book to a great conclusion. He discusses how the book came to be and what convinced him that he should continue on and make sure this book gets the ending it deserves. He'll also give information on how you can sign up and help and also how to get to his website. If you're planning on attending the C2E2 convention today, Henri will still be there, so be sure to look him up. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I want to welcome back to the podcast Henri Compan, the creator of Yi Sun Shin, the comic book. First set was Warrior and Defender, and the second set, what's it called now, Henri?
Fallen Avenger.
Fallen Avenger, right. It's a trilogy, so this is the second part of the three, right?
Yes, yeah. Warrior and Defender is the first arc of the trilogy, and now Fallen Avenger is the second arc, and then we're going to be doing a third arc to complete everything. So in total, we got 12 issues, and each of them are broken up into four issues, and every fourth issue is a double-sized book.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're doing something a little different this time. When this airs, you'll have already begun your Kickstarter campaign. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, I'd love to. So about 5 months ago, my funding for Yi Sun Shin unexpectedly fell through. I had a financer who had agreed originally to put up the production costs for the entire series. Well, for reasons that had nothing to do with Yi Sun Shin, things kind of fell through. So we've come so far at this point. We've finished 7 issues, and now we're getting ready to do our biggest issue, which is Fallen Avenger 4, complete the second arc, and put together the story for the greatest battle Yi Sun Shin has ever fought. And, you know, it's kind of like the greatest battle we're about to fight as well, is to keep this book in production. So this Kickstarter kind of came to us at an interesting point. So we're trying to raise money to initially fund the art for Fallen Avenger 4. But that's kind of like a starting point for me. I'd really like to see if we can raise enough money to fund the entire production of Fallen Avenger 4. And if possible, fund the entire production of the graphic novel and the rest of the series as well. And none of the money that is being raised is going to be used to pay me a salary or to cover any appearances at conventions. It's all going straight into the art, straight into actually producing the series.
Well, that's the trick of you being a creator, and I know several other creators who, you know, they raise the money simply to get the project out there because they love the project so much. And that sounds like what you're going through is that this is something that's near and dear to you, and you need a little help to make that happen.
Yeah, I do. Over the years, we've built a really loyal readership, and our fans have been really satisfied with the work that we've done, and we need their help to finish what we started, and we're more determined than ever to give our audience a quality product.
Well, the first volume, I got the hardcover, and I really loved it. I loved reading it. It's educational as well as entertaining, and I always think that's a great combination in a comic, because there's so much we could learn, and we just don't. On the other hand, if you say something is a historical book, people roll their eyes, which I just never understand. I like to learn things, and I learned so much about a part of the world that I wasn't terribly familiar with before I read Yi Sun Shin, so I was very grateful for that, and so I'm a big supporter of the book. I think that it's a wonderful series. I can't wait to read the second and the third. I'm just great stuff. I'm kind of fascinated because on your website, which is spelled YISOONSHIN.com, which of course happens to be Yi Sun Shin, you state that you sold over 35,000 copies of the book. That includes the first go around and then the hardcover, and then you're in the second. So that's pretty good. You're roughly halfway there.
Well, we're pretty much at 40,000 copies now. Those numbers are a little dated, but we're reaching that 40,000 mark, and we're aiming for 50,000 sales by the end of this year. As you were mentioning history, that was the one thing that we always try and avoid, is using that dreaded H word. Well, you know, because that always puts people to sleep, and everybody thinks that history is a bad thing, which, of course, it's not, in my opinion. I love history. Mm-hmm. I love all different periods in history and learning about them. But in our case, we really try, I mean, as much as we like to be informative in terms of how battles unfolded and the kinds of clothes people wore and the actual events that occurred, our goal is to tell the best story we can, given the page space we have and the ability to do it. So, yeah, that was just piggybacking off the history thing before we got off topic.
Okay. It's fascinating to me because a few weeks ago I got to speak with a gentleman behind a book called The Locksleys and Confederation. It has to do with how Canada as we know it today came to be. And I was so fascinated by that because I had no idea how this all happened. So I got the chance to read an early edition of the book, and I was like, wow, this is really gripping stuff. And, you know, it's so interesting to see something from another perspective to me. Because, you know, in America, we don't know much about how Canada thinks, just like we don't know much about the part of the world that Yi Sun Shin is from. And so for me, it was just a great experience to sit and read that stuff. I can't wait till the book comes out so I can write a review of it. And the same thing is true with your book. Your book is so enjoyable, and it might change people's minds about historical if people get a chance to read it, because it's so good, and it has a lot to do with bringing us into the, especially when we're now looking for more diversity. This Yi Sun Shin book really does explain a lot of the way the world functions in that area. And for me, I loved it. I thought it was so informative. If you don't want to use the word historical, use informative, because there's all kinds of things you learn about this man and about what happened, you know, during his time. So I don't know. I think that it's a good thing, and I think you're doing a great job. And boy, I think you need all the support that we can give you to make sure this all happens.
I appreciate that, Wayne. You know, it's funny. Speaking, you were talking about this book about Canada. I learned recently that the reason why the White House is called the White House is because at some point in history, I think the U.S. was trying to take over Canadian territory, mm-hmm. and they set the Capitol headquarters on fire. Mm-hmm. So they repainted it white, and that's why we call it the White House. But I could be wrong, but someone who was Canadian told me that once. So
well, it's, you know, because when I read about the first thing about the battles that Yi Sun Shin was in charge of, and the way that he actually beat the enemies, and it's fascinating to me because, you know, the Japanese tend to be the bad guys in this story. And, you know, we look at the Japanese now very differently a couple of hundred years later.
You know, a lot of people say that, like, I see the Japanese, or, you know, they ask me that often, do you see the Japanese as bad guys? You know, it's really not that I see them as bad guys. It's circumstantial. You ask someone who lives in Europe or in the Middle East today, mm-hmm. what they think of the United States, and they'll think, you know, they're the worst country in the world, no different than Japan, you know? Mm-hmm. And as an American, I'm very proud of being an American, and I'm very proud of my nation. Mm-hmm. And I have my own opinions about that, having seen different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. But I don't necessarily see Japan as the enemy. This is not a book that I actually consider to be very political. Mm-hmm. What I really try and focus on is the actual characters. And the way I look at it is the people of Japan are really victims of their warlord, who was this ambitious, nutty dictator, essentially. He was trying to conquer the entire world. And he accomplished a great deal. Hideyoshi Toyotomi, like, started out as like a foot soldier, and he was born as a peasant. Mm-hmm. And he basically rose up in the ranks within the Japanese military and, like, became the warlord of Japan. So imagine just some, like, poor guy becoming, like, the strongest person in an entire nation. And an entire nation composed of, like, warriors. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to take over everything. He was using Korea as a staging point to go into China and then take over Russia and just take over Europe and everything. Mm-hmm. He was nutty.
Well, yeah. as a result of his leadership, there were a lot of people died as a result of what he decided wanted to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There was a historical figure, and he actually appears in the first three pages of Warrior and Defender. Mm-hmm. His name is Senrikyu. And he was a very wise Japanese tea master. And he served tea to Hideyoshi Toyotomi. And before that, he served tea to Nobunaga Oda. And he cautioned Hideyoshi about going to war with Korea. He said it was like, this is a very bad idea. And Hideyoshi had him executed for that. Mm-hmm. So to say that in my book, we portrayed the Japanese as the bad guys. No, we just show it how it was. I mean, this is what they were doing. They were going into Korea. They were looting, they were pillaging, they were raping women, enslaving children, killing old people. This is what they were doing. It's not that we're trying to portray them in a negative way, but this is what was going on. And there was bad things going on within the Korean government too. It's not to say that, okay, the Japanese are the bad guys, the Koreans are the good guys. There was so much corruption going on within the Korean government, and they're the ones that actually allowed the war to come to the country. Mm-hmm. The king was extremely corrupt. He was paranoid. He actually thought that everybody was trying to take over him, and he killed so many of his own warriors, and he disregarded the Japanese for so long. He thought that there was no way they would ever be able to pull off an invasion. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they actually invaded and destroyed his army, he abandoned his throne and like went up to North Korea. Mm-hmm. And he hid there for 5 years while Yi Sun-shin, you know, was forced to fend for himself and fight down south, which is where most of the war took place.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's a great tactician, and that's something we can all learn from about that, is that if you're going to engage in this kind of thing, the old adage, might makes right, isn't always the best way to approach this. If you've got somebody who is able to figure out the tactics to this, that's so much better than just like trying to overwhelm somebody with force. And a lot of the things in the first volume that you do, we get to see Yi Sun-shin take on what's considered to be a superior naval force.
Oh, yeah.
Great. Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, because of his ability to think on a tactical level, he does a lot of things that surprises the Japanese, to put it mildly.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is in our latest issue, Fallen Avenger 3, the tides have turned because Yi Sun-shin is no longer in control of the Navy, and his rival actually takes control of the Navy and contends with the Japanese. Mm-hmm. And in this issue, we really show the brutality of the Japanese and just how strong they really are, because they pretty much, well, I'm not going to spoil it, but, you know, to put it simply, they dished out to Korea what Korea was dishing to them. Mm. And speaking of tactics and Yi Sun-shin being a wise military leader, if you want to see tactics and awesome battles and stuff like that, Fallen Avenger 4 is where it's going to be at, because that's like, we're telling the story of Yi Sun-shin's greatest battle. Mm. And just to kind of set up the stakes for you, basically the entire Navy gets obliterated and he's left with only 12 ships. Mm. And now he's contending with a Japanese force of 300 ships in one single battle. And in this battle, he basically destroys the Japanese Navy. He kills over 18,000 men in like 2 hours. Wow. And the way he does it is just amazing. And that I won't say. Mm-hmm. And the events that occur in that book go beyond the battle. It's really about advancing the story, because there's nothing I can hide from the readers. If they wanted to go and online and do their research, they would know everything that happened in every single battle. They'd know exactly when Yi Sun-shin dies and when all this stuff happens. Mm-hmm. But in this particular issue, there's character arcs that are going to be played out. There's things we're going to be setting up for the third and final arc. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to keep on advancing the story. And I've been wanting to do this issue ever since I started the series. So coming to this point is really just an amazing thing. And I'm really hoping we'll be successful with our Kickstarter.
Well, the thing I've always loved about your books is the way that you guys bring script and art together. The artists that you have been using are always great. And always your pacing is good. The characters are strong and understandable. And the artwork works with that. We know who's who basically by looking at them, and that's an important thing in a comic. And so I really have to applaud the work that your artists have done, as well as you.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, it's everybody. My editor and co-writer, Dave Kraft, he plays a big role in making sure that all of this stuff is legible for people who are picking it up, so that readers don't get confused by characters and that everything can be defined. And the biggest lesson he taught me ever since we started working together is that everything must serve the story. The art must serve the story. The characters must serve the story. And that's what drives Yi Sun-shin, is we're all about the story. That's what truly engages the people. And I've seen so many books where, you know, you have one book that's dominated by story, one book that's dominated by art, and I really wanted to balance it out and really bring out the best in both aspects, you know?
Well, it's funny. I was today reading a book that I had gotten at a recent convention. I won't say which one it is, but it was called something, and I didn't understand. I still to this day don't get quite why they called it that. I always like to know why they call something the way that they do. And so I probably, when I get through the second volume, I'm going to have to go back again and try to read it again so I can pick it up. But most people won't do that. Most people will give you the first time through. If you don't grab them pretty much right away and you don't keep them, they're not going to keep going. But, you know, the Yisun Shin really grabs you and pulls you along, and it's really good reading. So I was grateful that I was looking forward to talking with you about the book, because this other one told me what not to do in a comic. But yours tells me how to write a good comic.
Well, Wayne, you got me smiling from ear to ear. That always makes me very happy. And that's one of the things I've really enjoyed over the years is, you know, making this book is only a quarter of what my work is. The other part of it is actually printing the book and actually going to conventions and selling it. And over the years, you know, I've managed to interact with a lot of readers and hear their reactions of the book. And it's always so gratifying. Because sometimes this book, I mean, it bleeds us dry, you know, from the amount of hours that we put into it and the amount of time. And there is no monetary reward right now from this book. So hearing our readers praise it, hearing you praise it, really means such a big deal.
Well, I'm always fascinated because, you know, people who I got to interview somebody else, and I won't say which one it was, but when I asked him about why he got into comics, and it was basically to make money, which was sort of funny. I had to ask him myself, well, don't you want to have stories you want to tell? Well, yeah, but the whole point is to make money. You know, I know so many people who get into the comics business because the burden is on them to tell stories. That is who they are and what they want to accomplish. And so it was different. I was glad that he was being honest. But on the other hand, they hear what you're saying and that this is all about the story and it's all about us as readers gaining something from that. I really think that's where comics writers and comics creators excel at, is that they want these stories to get out. It's inside of you and it's bursting to get out. And you're not going to be happy until you get them going, get it out.
Sure. No, absolutely. And I've lived with this book for a very long time. And it's interesting because 5 months ago, on the day that I found out that my funding got cut, you know, it was just such a crushing feeling, because I felt like there was this weight on my chest and I was terrified that I would have to give up working on this book. And my wife encouraged me to finish what I started and to go the Kickstarter route. And it took me a long time to get back in the game and actually like plan this out and get everything going. And it was funny because she's very anti-violence and everything. And as you know from our book, it's very violent and there's some sexual content in there. It's not a book for the faint of heart. And she was in tears telling me to finish this. And it was at that point that I realized that I really need to do this. This is definitely my calling. I have to finish this book. So,
well, you know, keep it up, because I'm the same. I want to see it all the way through. And I want good copies to keep in my little library, because good stories are – I always get a kick when I get hardcovers. And like the first one I got of yours was a hardcover. And people come in, and it wasn't your book, but they pull out a book and say, oh, look at all these wonderful hardcover books you've got. And they open it up, and all of a sudden they realize it's a comic. He said, oh, it's a comic. I said, that doesn't make it any less of a good story. I said, you've got to sit down and use the visuals to draw people in, and then your writing gets propelled by that. And so they weren't convinced, but that's why I have all the hardcovers that I do. When there are good things to have, they're worth having good copies of. Which I've got to ask you, because you mentioned going to conventions, and you do a lot of convention going. I've seen you at several conventions. Is that the best way to interact with you and to get copies of the book, is to go to the conventions with you? Because you're on Facebook.
A lot of people tend to think that that's the best way. But honestly, the best way, if I'm in your town and I'm at a convention, then yeah, of course, that's a great way to find me. Mm-hmm. But the best way, I say, is going to our website, www.yisonshin.com. Visit our web store and pick up the book. That's the best way to show support for the series. All the money that we receive from books that are purchased goes right back into production, whereas if I go to a convention and I set up, the money goes towards paying off my convention costs. So I'm usually I usually have to be on the hustling front in order to cover actually being at the convention. So the best way is, of course, to go through our website. But some people like to meet me in person and to know who they're buying. So, of course, conventions are great. But the nice thing about buying through the website is I sign and ship all over the world. You know, I handle all the packaging and shipping for my business. So, yeah.
Very cool. Now, I'm just kind of curious, because you do go to conventions a lot. What's your experience at conventions like? Do you find people, do people come up to you? Do many of the folks come up and say that they've read your book and they really love it? Or do you find new people a lot of the times? How does it work in your convention experience?
The majority of the time I'm finding new people. I'm waving people down and telling them about my comic. I'm pitching constantly. I'm on my feet. If you've gone to a convention that I've been at, I'm the bald guy who's offering you bookmarks and telling you about my comic. Yeah, I'm usually there to meet new people, of course, but from time to time I see a lot of old readers come back. I mean, the thing about conventions is that it's not always a guarantee for people. You know, maybe one year someone I saw at a previous year won't be at a show the following year. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll see a customer. I remember I was in Emerald City a couple weeks ago, and one young lady that I had sold a book to in February 2013 came and saw me at the end of this show. And I instantly recognized her because she was one of my final customers before I sold out. And I just remember, it's sometimes I see so many people, but many people stick in my head and I try to remember names as best as I can. And she just stuck out to me. So it was great to see her again because I didn't know if she liked the book or not. And she came back and said she loved it. And she was asking if the Fallen Adventure graphic novel had come out yet. And you know, unfortunately, I had to tell her no. But going on the whole graphic novel thing, with Fallen Avenger, everything that you liked about Warrior and Defender, the trade, you're going to go nuts over with the Fallen Avenger graphic novel because we're planning so much more with it. And we're working on getting a pretty big name to write the forward right now. And I can't say who it is yet, but I'm hoping I can lock it in and make it official over the next few months.
Well, you had a pretty big name on the first one. But I don't get much bigger than Stan Lee, so, you know, that's a pretty good, that's a good way to start your graphic novel off.
Yeah, Stan's endorsement was really supportive and really appreciated. He's a wonderful man, and he gave me some of the best advice I've ever received from somebody, you know, working in comics. And honestly, Stan's words that encouraged me to keep going with what I'm doing.
Well, I have to say, too, another thing, because I know you on Facebook, I often see when you go to conventions, you sell out usually when you go to cons, and that's usually a good sign. I don't know how many you take when you go, how many copies of your books, but you know, it seems to be like before the convention's over, you've already sold out.
Well, yeah, that's only because I bring one copy. usually I tend to bring about 700 to 800 books with me per show.
Wow.
And the thing about conventions is it's obviously where we move the greatest amount of volume because that's where I can actually get up in front of people and tell them about my comic and get them excited about it. So, yeah, we typically tend to move quite a bit of books out there. And we also do pretty well on Amazon.com, too. They tend to order a lot of copies.
Well, that's good. Now, another thing I'm kind of curious about now is because of the digital era that's coming into comics. Do you sell digital versions or do you stick to the paper versions?
Well, we've been working with Comixology. We've been accepted on Comixology, but they basically have been asking me to upload my logo, which I did. And I'm just waiting to hear back from them now, as silly as that sounds. But we're already on iVerse. We've been on iVerse for a little over a year now. And we've worked with Graphically when they were around. So hopefully we'll be up on Comixology soon. But aside from that, I started another company with a partner of mine called Freedable Comics. And basically, it's a platform we created to help independent comic book creators and all comic book creators promote their work online for free. And the way it works is basically we put comics up online for people to read. And when creators give us the books, what we do is we provide them with demographic data on who the readers are. They basically, anytime you finish reading a comic on Freedable, we offer you to fill out a survey. And the survey is completely anonymous, but the actual like core data stuff goes to the creator so that they know who's actually reading their book. But aside from doing that, we provide like a path to purchase link. So if you're interested in buying the book that you just read, you can click a link and it'll take you to their site. And on top of that, we have a really strong following on there. We have about 5,000 subscribers, and we link our creators to them. So our idea is to make people more aware of what comic books are out there that aren't typically noticed by bigger companies or by retail shops. So it's kind of like having free comic book day every day. And just to show how serious I am about it, I put up the first three issues of Yisun Shin on there. And some people have asked me, well, do giving your comics away for free eat into your sales? Well, to answer that question, no, it doesn't, because my first issue of Yisun Shin, which is up on Freetable right now, has sold over 10,000 units. And just because you offer something for free doesn't discourage people from wanting to buy your book. If someone likes what you put out there, they're going to want to support you and they'll buy what you've put out there.
Well, I like it because it's so hard these days to be able to walk into a comic store. And like, I had this experience when I was visiting up in back in Washington, D.C. recently. And I walked into the store, and a couple of friends and I walked in, and we had absolutely no idea what was the good stuff, what there was to buy. And the guy behind the counter kind of was, his head was in the computer, and so he wasn't really talking to us. So we ended up leaving the store with nothing because we didn't know what, out of all this stuff, what was good and what was bad. And so we couldn't do that. And that's, I think, making some of the product available so people at least get into the story. And if you're good enough storytellers, that people will want to understand what's going on and what happened. You turn the pages because you want to know what's going to happen next. And if you can do that kind of thing, if you can get people interested in it, they will support you. I really do believe that. And I think you're doing a smart thing by setting up this Freetable.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it's also a way for me to give back to the community that's essentially helped me with Yisun Shin. You know, the independent community is really what I'm a part of. Mm-hmm. And I understand the struggles that creators go through. I know what they do because I'm doing it myself. You know, I know what it's like to bleed, sweat, and cry over your comic and actually have to print it up and actually have to go to conventions and sell it. I know every side of it. I know how difficult it can be trying to find a publisher, trying to get your book in certain stores. And from the reader's standpoint, too, some people aren't sometimes not sure if they want certain comics. And you walk into a comic store, and it doesn't happen often. There's a lot of great comic stores, but then you have those stores that tell you that you're not allowed to browse through comics unless you're going to buy something. What if you don't know what you want to buy? The whole point of this is to give people a chance to preview comics and see what they like. And we're a tool to help creators reach their audience.
Mm-hmm. What I'm curious about, too, is a brief survey. Have you gone through this feedback you've gotten regarding Yisun Shin? Has there been something that you've learned from the feedback that they've given you?
It's funny. In 2013, I had over 2,000 customer surveys filled out. Mm-hmm. And I had those done in paper and pen. And I learned a lot about how to approach readers in a way that is non-aggressive, because people don't like filling out surveys. It's a really like jarring experience and intrusive experience. You don't want to give out too much information. And the idea is we reward our readers for filling out surveys by giving them free comics for doing it. So one nice thing about Freetable is if you're a content provider, meaning if you give us a comic to put up on our site and we accept it, we offer you a chance to get spotlighted. And what that means is we interview you and we put your comic up as a spotlighted feature, so that after 2 weeks, we pick a random person who has filled out a survey and they get a chance to get a copy of your book. So even if that person didn't read and review your comic, let's just say they read and reviewed somebody else's comic, they can still enter to win a chance to get your comic. And if they receive your comic, then you may have turned on a new fan. So this is a great way to help people build up their audience, you know?
Well, that's the thing. If people can give feedback, sometimes people who read the book will give you feedback. There was one book that I was given a book to read at from MegaCon, where I was recently. And the guy said, I don't care whether it's negative or positive, just give me feedback. You know, what kinds of things could I do better? And I'm fascinated by that because it's, you know, after you've read comics for a while, you start to understand the medium, and you start to understand how things go from one to the other, and you've got to be real careful about those kinds of things. But honestly, somebody who reads your product cold might be able to give you some ideas or some information that would help you as a writer or help you as a comics creator. And I always think that that's a smart thing that you're doing, to be able to get some feedback and to learn about what people think when they read your
book. Absolutely. Yeah, and when you hear too much positive feedback, sometimes it keeps you from growing. Mm-hmm. That's why I hired an editor to work on Eastern Shin. Dave Kraft has no problems telling me when I fuck up. And I'm also, later this year, hopefully going to release my second graphic novel, which I've been working on for the last 4 years now. And Jan DeMatis was the editor. And I had the pleasure of working with him and him basically ripping me a new ass anytime I turned in a sloppy script. Mm-hmm. You know, the only way to improve is to get knocked down. So, you know, I think it's good when you get positive feedback. I think that's great. You know, you're doing something right. But it's also good to get negative feedback, too, because you can learn from it. Mm-hmm. Usually when it comes to getting negative feedback or bad reviews on Eastern Shin, I tend to take it with a grain of salt and evaluate it. Like, for example, I had a customer on Amazon give me a really poor rating. They gave me a 1 out of 5 stars because my book had violence in it and sexual content, and he bought the book for his kid. Well, it doesn't mean that my book is bad. It means that he was expecting it to be for kids, and it's not for kids. It's for adults. This is not a kid's comic. You know, this is not your daddy's Eastern Shin. So in cases like that, you have to kind of take things with a grain of salt. Not everybody's going to understand your vision. Not everybody's going to appreciate what you're doing, and there's nothing wrong with that. People who want your book will find it no matter what, and sometimes even if they do see a bad review, that might even entice them to get it because of the fact that it was given a bad review. And I've checked out tons of things which have received bad reviews, and, you know, I've enjoyed them, you know. So I'm one of the people who actually enjoyed the Clone Saga and Spider-Man. So
join the club. I happen to like the I loved Ben Reilly when you know, the clone became Ben Reilly.
Stuff that they were doing, and like every week there was a new Spider-Man comic, there was something new pushing the story forward, and of course in the end it became like this big convoluted mess, but you know, in the beginning I remember just being a kid and like every Wednesday I was going to the store and there was something to advance the story. It was fantastic.
Well, that's the thing, the comic reading experience, we're at a place with comics right now, and I think your book is one of the ones I think that shows the diversity in the comics universes. I just think that, you know, it's great to have superhero Long John stories, but there's a lot of room for other kinds of stories. And I think the reader, I think now is more sophisticated than he or she has ever been. And I think that's why Yi Sun Shin, I think, is as a big success, is because we're now at a place where we can enjoy these kinds of things, that we can read them and learn from them and enjoy them, even if it's not, he doesn't have an S on his chest or he doesn't have a spider on his chest. He can actually be a character we can get to learn about and enjoy getting to know.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say that, because being that Yi Sun Shin is a historical figure, that doesn't necessarily mean that this book doesn't apply to people who are into superhero comics. Just because you're into superheroes doesn't mean you're not going to like Yi Sun Shin. Yi Sun Shin is a real life superhero. I mean, like, he actually existed. It's because of him that people are like the characters like Batman and Superman exist, which is why I essentially wanted to do this book, because I'm very much into the superhero mythos. I love the stuff that Marvel and DC do and have done in the past. And I just want to be able to add to that by creating my own take on a real-life hero.
Which is great. You know, we need more real-life heroes, I think. Superman and Batman and Spider-Man and everybody else is wonderful. But we need to know more what real people do as well. You know, it's just a great thing to know. So you mentioned, and I didn't quite get the name of, you said there was a second book that this is not the second Yi Sun Shin book, is it?
No. This is a completely new book that I've been working on. It's about my grandpa's life. I can't really talk too much about it yet because we're about to be submitting it, and hopefully we'll find a publisher for this book, because I don't know if I could self-publish this one. Okay. But just to kind of give you a little sneak peek, my grandfather was a Russian Jewish veteran in World War II. He fought for the Soviet military, and he was basically shooting down Nazi airplanes from a big truck. And he was pulled off the front lines and thrown into a Russian prison camp. He was imprisoned by his own country, and he spent 5 years in a gulag. And it's really just about his life, what it was like for him growing up in communist Russia and the things he went through. Wow. Yeah, so it's 144 story pages, plus we're putting together a bunch of like extra content too. So cool. I'm really looking forward to finally getting it out. It's been a huge passion project of mine. My grandfather passed a couple years ago, and this is sort of like my big tribute to him.
Oh, wow. Have you ever read the book Maus, M-A-U-S?
Oh, absolutely.
This is kind of your mouse, you know, this is the way that you're talking about. And it won't be exactly the same as that story. It'll have its own unique things
because every person is different. This is a fully colored and painted book, and it's put together by some of the most brilliant artists in the field. Again, I can't really talk about them yet, but I'm really looking forward to the point when I can, and it won't be too long. I promise you that. Mm-hmm. The art in this book is just absolutely phenomenal. You've never seen a graphic novel like this, and I can't wait to share it with you.
Great. Well, we'll have to talk again when that time comes, because I'd like to see that. And I'd like to see a copy, too, so I can review it. Now,
of course,
you talk about your conventions, and maybe what you'd like to do at this point is tell people which conventions you'll be coming up to in the next couple months.
Yeah, okay. So starting this week, I'll be at C2E2, and that's the same day that our Kickstarter initiative will go live. And from there, I'll be at Motor City Comic Con, followed by Phoenix, and then I'm going to New York for Special Edition, followed by San Diego, and then I'll be at Wizard World Chicago, Baltimore Comic Con, and I'm going to wrap things up in New York.
Yeah, that's always a good place to go, because that's actually now got more people going to it than San Diego does. Reading.
That's the real deal now.
Yeah, it's just amazing to me. So, well, that's great. Now, to find your thing at Kickstarter, we probably need to go to Kickstarter.com and look for Yi Sun Shin in there.
Well, actually, I'm going to make things really easy for folks. If you just come to my website, www.yisunshin.com, yisunshin.com, you'll see an actual link to our Kickstarter. You'll just see the big Kickstarter logo on there. You click on that, and it'll take you straight to the page.
Cool. Well, anything to help us get involved and to help us get in there and support like we should be doing. So we'll be following up on that. So I'll be signing up for that,
too. I appreciate that so much. And honestly, anybody who's listening to this show and decides to back us, we really, really appreciate it. So thank you in advance.
That'll be good. Well, keep it up, Henri. Great stuff, Yi Sun Shin. And looking forward to your other projects as well, too. So, man, we can't wait to see more good stuff from you in the next couple months.
Thank you, Wayne. I promise I'll do my best.
I can't think of a better way to wrap up this episode than to present the audio from Henri's presentation on his Kickstarter project page. So here goes.
How's it going, Kickstarter backers? My name is Henri Compin, and I'm the writer, creator, and producer of the Yi Sun Shin trilogy. My book is about the real-life story of a Korean admiral who successfully beat the sugar-coated crap out of the Japanese samurai who invaded his country in a 7-year conflict known as the Imjin War. Outnumbered, he won 23 straight battles without losing once. Yi Sun Shin is a trilogy of comics, broken up into 3 arcs, each containing 4 issues. Every 4th issue is a double-sized book containing 48 pages of straight action with no ads. Once an arc is completed, it is then collected into a hardcover graphic novel, which features tons of extras. The series has received praise from numerous big names in the comics industry, including Kingpin Stan Lee, who wrote the foreword to the first graphic novel. I assembled a truly great team of creators from around the world to make Yi stand the test of time alongside other top-flight graphic novels. Artist Giovanni Timpano from Italy. You may also know him from his work on G.I. Joe, Hellraiser, and The Shadow. Artist L.R. Nicholas brings the illustrious influence of Frank Frazetta to the series. Argentinian colorist Adriana De Los Santos turns every page into a painting. Joel Saavedra, also from Argentina, letters the book. And finally, I brought on an editor, who soon became my co-writer, comics veteran David Anthony Kraft, who's best known for writing a comic called The Defenders for Marvel, which is about to be made into a series by Netflix. I believed in this project so much that even though I introduced it to a market driven by licensed properties and long-established superheroes, I risked everything, found financing, and made it work. My instincts were right. I took a book that no one knew about and sold out at conventions from coast to coast. Yi Sun Shin has now sold nearly 40,000 copies, and we're going to break 50,000 copies this year. All of this was done without a publisher or a distributor. So what's the problem? 5 months ago, my funding fell through for reasons unrelated to Yi Sun Shin's success. But I'm not ready to give up after having come so far. I want to finish what I've started, which is why I'm now coming to you for help. Yi-Sun Shin Fallen Avenger 4 is the conclusion to the second arc of our series. It's a double-sized book, and I need your help in order to fund it. If you're new to the series, our reward system invites you to get caught up. But even if you're already a fan, it's still in your best interest to be a part of this campaign. Because without your support, we can't complete the series. Every dollar counts. In exchange for your backing, I promise that my team and I will deliver a comic that will surpass every issue of Yi-Sun Shin we've put out to date. Yi-Sun Shin is not a monthly title. It's a book that comes out when it's ready. Over the years, my team and I have strived to provide you with an immaculate comic that is worth your time and hard-earned money. We don't do filler issues, and we don't do variants. All we can offer you, all we will ever offer you, is our best work. Below, you'll find more info about our series. Become a backer today. Join the fight. Onward to victory.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's it for this episode. Be back next week when I'll have another great interview with another wonderful comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.